You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The best part of holiday gifting? Giving them something they'll use all year. During December deal drops at Lowe's, save $40 on select Craftsman V20 tools, now just $59. Plus, all rewards members get free standard shipping. Shop new December deal drops every week this month. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, free shipping excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to change. Visit lowes.com/shipping terms for details.
Hi, this is Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. And as you know, on this show, we cover so many different topics all around holistic health and well-being. And this week I was going to be covering natural solutions to the menopause, but then I got an opportunity to interview leading actor, writer and comedian Rich Hardesty. And I realised it would be a good time to bring you this conversation for anyone who is in the UK and can actually get along to one of his shows while they're still happening. So I thought I'd bring this piece to you because, you know, mental illness is a topic that, you know, it needs more talking about, let's face it. So Rich in this show shares the highs and lows of his eventful and peculiar life. It's called Silly Boy, and he reveals how his mental illnesses affect him and explores themes such as anorexia, bipolar disorder, self-harm, borderline personality disorder, and even heroin abuse. But although the subjects are really dark, the show, I'm told, is not heavy. It's a celebration of the beauty and silliness of all of it, and the interesting and the riotous and the shocking things that his brain is capable of doing, as he says. And, you know, Richard shares his what's happened to him. Various manic depressive episodes. He was trapped in his home for 2 years. But now the stuff he's doing is absolutely incredible, taking this show to Edinburgh. He's ended up doing stuff in New York. And the things that he's doing with the show are just incredible. It's really amazing, the work that he's doing and shining a light on mental health and mental illness, which is, you know, good to talk about it, right? So I really hope you enjoy this interview with Rich. Oh, I'm really, really thrilled to be able to chat to Rick Hardesty, and particularly because the title of this show is Silly Boy. I mean, it doesn't get better than that for me, having worked with Steve Wright in the afternoon, who uses the phrase Silly Boy for about 23 years.
Yeah, I heard about this. Yeah,
exactly. But anyway, this is a completely different spin on it. And Rick, I just shared a little bit of information about you, obviously, and about some of the stuff that you're doing. But what struck me was I really wanted to chat to you on the show because it sounds as though what you've done has, and I'm sure this is a tremendous cliche, but it sounds like you've been super brave. Sharing some of this stuff, like, this is the stuff that, you know, people have going on but they don't share it, do they?
Yeah, well, it was I had the show started out strangely. I had bipolar disorder.
Yeah,
and I had like a manic depressive down episode, which is the sort of the downward bit of it. The mania is the good bit, woo, and manic depression is the bad bit. So I had a 2 year in 2017 to 2019. I was sort of stuck in the house for a couple of years. And my friend, who's a big comedian called Tom Ward, Live at the Apollo and things, he came over one day because I had people sort of bringing me food and sort of checking on me. And he said, look, Richard, if you ever get out of this, you've got to start doing stand-up because, like, you've got the maddest story, you've got the maddest life, And like, you've got your way of looking at things. Just, he said, you've just got to do it. So I was like, okay. So it sort of like got into my head then. And then I just got a microphone. I put it in the corner of my flat and I invited loads of people over to my flat. And I just sort of started talking about everything, what I've been going through in a very funny, silly way, which is what I'm like. And everyone just started laughing. And I was like, this could maybe be something. So then I did another one the next week. It sold out again. And I was like, then it got too big for my flat and I couldn't fit everyone in. And I was like, hang on a minute. So then I went to the Camden Comedy Club and I started doing it there. Then it started selling out there. And then a guy called Mick Perrin turned up, who is a big producer. He does like Eddie Izzard's tour and Bo Burnham's tours and Simon Amstel. And
he said, look,
Rich. And he said, Rich, look, this isn't a work in progress. This is a great show. Can I take you to Edinburgh? And next thing I was in Edinburgh. And then after that, next thing I was in LA and now I'm on tour. It's just like, it's just sort
amazing.
Of
amazing. Isn't that amazing? So let me just take you back then. So you know, you mentioned bipolar. And I mean, I personally think the more people that talk about this, the better, because my mum had bipolar disorder. And I think I probably knew that was the diagnosis as I was growing up. But all I really knew was that every so often she would be carted off to another mental institution. And then in between that, you know, there would be times when she had what I now realize was very much a high.
Yes.
And then there were other times when it was very much a low. And the highs were terrifying. There's no other way of putting it.
Terrifying for you, not for her, for you mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as she got older, even more so, actually. And then the lows were also terrifying, but on a completely
different way. They're more sedated, aren't they? They're sort of calmer, a calmer low.
Exactly. And it was just very interesting, because it's only sort of, you know, obviously as I've got older and people do talk about this stuff a bit now, that I can't help but wonder, you know, what else could have been done. You know, in her case, completely different generation to you, obviously. All her stuff started after a massive, massive trauma of losing her mom, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
So what's bipolar disorder and what's trauma? That's another conversation, maybe.
Well, it can be quite comorbid. They can sort of like play into each other and stuff.
Absolutely. So. And I'm sure that's what happened. But back then, you know, because that was a long, long time ago, she was given electric shock treatment and drugged throughout her life. And I think genuinely, I don't think she was ever given any kind of therapeutic intervention of any kind. Which I find just staggering. She would kind of rock up every now and then to various hospital appointments and just be asked if she was sleeping or, you know, eating, and the prescription was renewed.
Wow.
Yes,
it's a lot. Must have been a lot different back then. They probably didn't know as much about it either back then, possibly
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
And also, it's just it must have been. I mean, the hardest thing must have been for you to, like, as a kid, to not, because like, as a child, if your mum's down around you, you just internalize that and think, well, am I upset or something?
Completely.
That must have been the hardest thing as a kid.
But what about for you then? I mean, so when did you get this diagnosis?
So that was about. I mean, you know, when you finally do get diagnosed and you think, wow, how could this not have been diagnosed earlier? It's just after a series of, like, since school, of like, I do something amazing, then end up in hospital, then do something amazing, then end up in hospital, then do something amazing, then end up in hospital.
So when you say, like, end up in hospital, for what reason?
Like, I'd end up like, have just psychotic depression. Like, I get depressed. And but also like, then when I was younger, obviously I wasn't as well at, didn't know anything about, obviously as I was younger, I didn't know about mindfulness, didn't know about, like, of understanding course. My own brain, just thought that whatever was happening was happening. Yeah. Didn't think there was another way of. So this was so I'd be like, I'd end up like sort of cutting myself, like trying to just so confused, you know, confused, and like end up with anorexia because I had this obviously mad. I've got a lot of different things going on, and I became obsessed with just like my weight, and just like I just end up like got so depressed, I just stopped eating basically.
Yeah.
And so then they got anorexia. So I had to come out of that, but then obviously they'll deal with that. Then I'd sort of go on a manic one again, up again. And then I ended up going back in hospital again. But I was also drinking and using drugs as well at the time, because not constantly, but like I would use them as and when, just because I was just younger and, you know, not as been through much stuff. And And it was just, yeah, just went round and around. And then eventually, yeah, went, did all the tests and things and got put on something called Depakote, which was a pill, which is sort of like the new lithium, I guess. But then I tried that for a bit. But then obviously it was, I was going through a lot of stuff when I was younger, which was, for instance, they might give me Depakote to stop the bipolar, but then it makes you put weight on. Yeah. And putting the weight on would then, like, the anorexia part of me was like, ugh! So I panic and I'd get rid of it. And so it was all, it's just been a long process of figuring out what is the best thing to deal with at the time.
Right. So are you in a place now then where, I mean, it sounds like you're really aware of it all, and that's got to be the first step, hasn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
That awareness, so that you know. I've heard people talk about, I did a really great interview with Denise Welsh around depression. Oh, wow. And she was saying, you know, that with clinical depression, you can't put your yoga pants on and no, go for a walk and that's the end of it. You know, much as some of us would like to think that you know, solve it. But what she did say was she now is aware enough to know when it's coming on. And when she knows when it's coming on, then at least she has the awareness to know what that means. If at the very least, this too will pass.
Right? Yes, you've got exactly to know. It's hard, isn't it? You've always got to remember that this is going to pass. But it's hard to do that when you're, because again, you have to understand, if you're listening to this, like, there are levels of depression. There's feeling a bit low, and then there's depression, which is like, you might just throw yourself off a cliff, not knowing what you're doing. Like, you've technically gone completely insane, basically.
Yeah.
You're not eating, you're not sleeping, you don't know what day it is. You're just you're not thinking rationally. It's like being drunk. You're like, you know, you come around for being sober, but for being drunk sometimes, and go, what was I doing? You actually remember what you're doing. Like, someone in my family recently got psychotic depression and never had anything to do with it before. Never, ever, no inklings, no drug use. And one day it came on and then just couldn't even get out of bed. Didn't know where. Didn't know his name. Didn't know what was going on. Do you know what I mean? Didn't know where he was. Just had to be cared for. It's really is. When your mind goes, it just goes. But I am a lot better now. If I'm not that bad, I can consciously grab it and go, okay, just got to get through this. This is just how your brain works, Rich. And I'm on a thing called quetiapine now, which is actually the first medication that really helped me. It's for schizophrenics and epileptics, but it really helps with bipolar. But it doesn't take any of my sort of woohoo, goodness.
No, I'm just going to say, because the last thing you need is your bloody joy taken away from you and your life force, for God's sake.
Exactly.
Because you see, this is the thing. There's so many layers to this, aren't there? But, you know, a lot of clients that I work with they're just drinking more than they want to. They're not a rock bottom, but they're drinking more than they want to. But then we'll get into a conversation. I'll be doing some coaching with them. And then they might be a few weeks in, and then they'll kind of say, I'm not sort of feeling that joy that you talk about. And then we'll go, well, let's have a look. You know, are you on medication, just out of interest? Oh, I've been on antidepressants. Oh, why? Wow. Okay. How long for? Oh, 20 years. Oh, right. Are you kind of clinically depressed? Oh, no. It was just that I had a problem because I got divorced. What the hell? This stuff is never checked. And, you know, people who listen to the podcast regularly will know that I bang on all the while about the frustration of people rocking up to a GP, particularly women, menopausal women, and they rock up to a GP and they go, oh, I'm anxious, I can't sleep, I'm this, I'm that. And then they're given antidepressants, but they're not asked about their drinking.
Yeah.
So they're then taking a bottle of alcohol a night on top of pills.
Yeah.
So the mix is a mess, isn't it? And it's almost like, I'm not even sure what the question is, but there's few layers here, aren't there, of when is it that you're just a bit down, and that
I've had friends in the past have been like, oh, I feel really low. I think I'm depressed. I'd be like, okay, now, did you go out on Saturday? Yes. Did you do cocaine? Yes. You're not depressed. You've taken some drugs.
Exactly.
Okay. So just stop taking drugs.
Yeah.
Stop drinking for a bit, and then see how you feel. Like, I've got someone I know recently. I had to say to him recently, he's like, he was coming up with, because you have a positive version as well, where sometimes I have friends who are sort of using certain drugs, and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I'm like, are you using it at the moment? They're like, I'm just taking a certain pill that I'm taking. I'm like, yeah, but you got, I don't mean like a thing from the doctor. I mean like illegal stuff. I know you're planning all this great stuff, right? But you have to understand, at the moment you are high. You are not thinking with a level head. You're basically drunk playing, I want to do this in my life, I want to do that in my life. Like, you need to be whatever that baseline is, everything, and then go, right, this is how I actually feel. Okay. Yeah. can I cope with this? Yes, I'm actually okay, or I'm not okay. And if then you think, do you know what, I'm sober, I'm nothing, I actually don't like how I feel, then maybe try taking something to stop that. If you feel you need that, if you've tried other stuff, you know, like just addressing things, as we said, there's levels to it. You can't, sometimes you do need medication because everyone's brains are different. You need something to stop you from going insane.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
But presumably for you now, you're at a stage where obviously you're on medication, of course.
Yeah.
But presumably you now know what lifestyle bits can complement where you're at.
God.
And you know that the last thing you need to do is go and drink alcohol or another. And presumably you know the good stuff that you can that supports you.
Yes, 100%. Well, I've got that's for like numerous stuff. Like I know the sort of people who I can't be around. And that's not because they're bad. It's just a bad mix for me. Do you know what
right,
I mean? It's like
yeah.
I know the sort of partners I can have and I can't have, which I didn't know as a child. I was just, as a younger, you just sort of like this is what being young is for, to learn these things from trial and error. I'm one of these people who, if you tell me not to do something, I just have to do it to figure out for myself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, that's why I left school with no GCSEs, because if someone gives me like a textbook, I'm like, this means nothing to me. I have to like experience. If someone says to me, don't take heroin, I go, I'll be the judge of that. Okay, I now know why not to take it, because I've taken it.
Yeah.
I know how bad it gets. So what we're saying people I know. Again, as I said, I'll do something amazing, then I'll end back in hospital. So I now know what my limits are in terms of like stand up for me. So I've been writing TV shows and stuff and developing stuff with different channels and things. But like, I think that ended up like breaking my brain a bit. But the thing about stand up that is so helpful is to be able to go out. It's sort of, it's all external. It's not too much clutter, and you get instant feedback. You know, if it did or it didn't work, and then you can go and deal with that. I think I was sort of doing things that I was like, I knew I wanted to do that, but it's actually bad for the kind of brain that I have. Does that make sense? Like, like your fancy that you might love, that you might have when you're younger, think, oh, my dream is to be the head CEO of a company. But when you get there, you're like, I actually don't, this is just stressful. This is not what I actually want. And not that I thought it could be a CEO of a company, but like, sort of writing comedy is good, but it's good to write comedy and perform. So you get to, you're not just sat at a computer all day long. Do you mean? Yeah, I find that actually quite bad for my brain.
Yeah. I think it's really inspirational that you left, you know, that you didn't have GCSEs and you know, and all that. I mean, I've got a son who's in that kind of, he's just not, school just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit school.
Doesn't
end off. And then with lockdown and God knows what else, everything kind of went to pot. But you know what? He's all right. And he'll be all right. And with the various jobs and the various things he's had, not one single person has ever asked him about a goddamn GCSE anyway.
Exactly.
But what
the
hell is that even about? And that necessity that the whole world has to have maths. What? It's just that's another conversation.
I was trying to about, because I was saying about how because I was just getting lots of trouble. I was very hyperactive and mad and all those stuff. But the therapist was talking to me, said basically, Rich, there's two types of brains. Like, we're all born right brain. So the right part of the brain is play, creativity, love. When you have godly experiences, that's the right part of the brain flashes up. You know, when kids go meow with a plane, that's the right part of the brain. But what we do is we're all born right brain. But then when we go to school,
they knock it out of us
to the left side. Now if you're left brained, like if you're good at copying and pasting and just shutting your brain down and doing stuff, you'll do very well in this, the way this world is structured. Go to job, 9 to 5, do your job, you can make it. But if you're right brained, you're going to really struggle, because you're like, right, it's not how this world is designed.
Exactly. But you know, we need more right brain people. We need the creativity, don't we, for God's sake.
Exactly.
So tell us about how you put the show together then, because you know, I mean, I'm guessing it was actually quite cathartic. As you say, you started off in your room inviting people in. How did you kind of decide, okay, well, which bits am I going to share and how do I make them funny? And I mean, how did you kind of put it together, or did it literally just spill out of you like a diary?
It was sort of like, it is a bit like, when I have these manic episodes, that's the thing, like the manual sort of like creative stuff will just fly out. So I could not stop thinking about it for like weeks and days, and pouring out. But the thing that made it sort of easy was, I think a lot of people, when you're writing a comedy show, maybe going to Edinburgh, and it's not everyone, I'm saying, sometimes comedians can like go and gig for a year about loads of different stuff, and then like try and make a show out of the jokes that they've got. Whereas with this, I knew what the show's about. It's about my life. So I didn't have that stress or anxiety of like, should I do a show about something else? There was nothing else. This is the show of my life. So like, I knew what it was about. I knew what the end point was. I knew what I'd learned that I wanted to share. So sort of then it started to write itself. I think the hardest thing is when you don't know what you're writing about, you just sort of like trying to figure out what the point, like when you're writing a script for TV, you know where the script ends and then you sort of write backwards. It's about a guy who wants X and he does that, and he's trying to figure out how he got there. And it was sort of like that, really. I just knew what I knew where I was at now in my life and what I'd learned. And I just sort of pieced together all the things I'd been through. And the show's called Silly Boy because throughout my whole life, as I said, like no matter how dark my mental health has got, no matter how bad things have got, no matter what I've done, I've always done it in a very stupid, silly way because I'm an idiot. First and foremost, I'm a Wally. So I could teach people about these certain issues through the prism of my idiocy. And that's,
well, I suppose in a sense, you know, the stuff can be really serious, but you brought humor into it, and that's it, isn't it, really? You know,
that's the thing. Just because I might be, it's like, if you're a funny daft idiot, it doesn't matter if you place that person in a cancer ward, he's still going to do stupid idiotic stuff. And that's just how it was. Like, no matter what the thing is, I'll just be an idiot. If I'm in a police station or if I'm like a psychiatric ward, something stupid will happen because it's me.
I love the quote from Simon Amstel, who said the show's much more than funny but also very funny. And Entertainment Now said Hardesty is a modern day philosopher, a raw emotive and incredibly funny storyteller. I love that. You actually took the show to New York City, didn't you, and sold out there. That must have been very cool.
Well, that was mad. So I had another, basically this is just what another shows you what my brain's like. It was before The Fringe, and I basically had a producer get in touch. And I was chatting to the guy, Mick Perrin, who took me to Edinburgh. He said, Rich, what's your plan for the show? And I said, well, Ryan, if you ask me what my dream is, it'd be to do a world tour and a Netflix special like Nanette, which was a show on Netflix, which was the biggest, about this woman who came out. I think it was, anyway, it's a very emotive show where she sort of, a lot of laughter and tears. And he said, okay. So he called the guy who made Nanette in New York, and the guy said, okay, this sounds brilliant. How can I see it? I said, well, what are you doing in a couple of weeks? So I put on a backpack, flew to America, hired out a theater, and just sold a theater out by hand in 10 days with a sign saying, I'm a silly boy, please come see my show. Walking around. I was walking 37 kilometers a day. I checked on my phone, up and down Manhattan. That was it.
Amazing.
But it worked.
Amazing. I also read that you'd done shows at the Psychological Research Institute, is that right?
And
various kind of psychiatric. I mean, I do find that interesting because presumably, you know, I mean, what we were saying earlier about, you know, certainly in the past, anyone dealing with sort of psychiatric issues, it's basically, you know, have the drugs and shut up kind of thing. Presumably you've encountered, you know, some situations where they're very open to your you kind of bringing in a different approach.
Yeah, it's been amazing. So the thing with the psychiatric research center was I basically did a gig somewhere, I can't remember what it was now, and I just got a message because I get a lot of inbox from people afterwards in my inbox, and they said, "Hi, Rich, we're a couple of psychotherapists, and we just learned more from your show than any academic paper or textbook we've read."
Wow.
And they said, wow. Right. So then they just paid me to come and do a gig to, it was like 150 therapists at this psychological research institute. And then we did a big Q&A afterwards where we sort of talked to me and asked me about my brain. It's so funny. It's like the tables had turned. It's like, so I'm used to talking to you for help, and now you're looking at me for help. What's going on here?
That's fantastic. But that's exactly what's needed, isn't it? The more psychiatrists and the more therapists who actually understand what it's really like.
Yeah.
You know, and how they can really help you rather than just, well, here's another prescription.
Yes,
which is what they did with my mum for 80 years.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's brilliant. I love it. I mean, I suppose effectively, you know, what you're doing is you're sharing with all this stuff, and presumably you do cover the self harm, the heroin, because you were on heroin as well for a while.
Yeah. So basically, that's the thing. I want to say that I'm not a heroin addict. Basically, when I was stuck in the house and before that, I'm just someone who, I don't care about the rules or the law. If I'm stuck, I will do whatever I can to cope
whatever
it takes to get through. And I wasn't using heroin as like a, you know, you can use it for different, lots of people need it for different ways, but like, I just needed to get through that time when I was stuck in the house. Cause it was just so, I'd been like you really start to lose your mind. I'm not seeing anyone for a long time. I've been stuck inside. I just needed to feel some joy. I'm not saying it's the way to do it, but it was it helped me to survive. At least I'll be honest, I don't want to be depressing here, but I thought if I don't take, I'm going to kill myself. I thought I need to like get through this little blip. Mm. And so I've done everything I can to cope. And at the end of the day, all these things are about coping, like anorexia.
Of course.
We all just learn different ways of coping as human beings. And some of us learn bad ways, unfortunately. And that's
exactly done
to unlearn.
So, I mean, I'm not sure how to phrase this question, but I suppose, you know, aside from come to see your show, which of course, you know, it's brilliant because you're exploring these dark subjects and you're sharing them. So that that is a fantastic start. So let's talk about it. Let's take the taboo away. Let's make it, you know, let's bring it into the room, as it were. But then you've got this kind of celebration of the good bits and the acceptance and the compassion and all of that stuff. But I suppose my question would be, what might have helped you, if anything, what do you wish might have happened, whether very recently or even when you're a kid?
Back then, okay. Well, I think here we go. So when I was, this all stems from things from when I was a kid, but that's the thing about I sort of, even though these bad things have happened, it's just the journey I had to go on to learn to get to the point where I am now. Do you know what I mean? It was all necessary. Like, I'm actually really glad of all the things I've been through, because I know a lot of people who haven't been through these things who can be nightmares I know they're well adjusted in terms of like the world, but I don't think they're not very compassionate. They don't really understand other people. You know, they're just like very stuck in their own heads. And I feel like I actually love who I am now. And it's because of the things I went through. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think I want to do it another way. As mad as that sounds.
Like, so it's not, you wouldn't say, well, I wish that, you know, I'd had more support from, I don't know, teachers or medical profession, or I wish I'd had more access to X or Y.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, ideally, yeah, I wish I'd have had known about my own mind from a young age, you know, sort of not mindfulness, maybe mindfulness in a way, but like understanding how my thoughts are not my own and all the feelings coming.
Yeah. And that wouldn't do anyone any harm to learn that a bit earlier on, would
it? Yes, exactly. That's one of the things that I really... the show is about basically the fact that it took me to lose my mind to realise how little control I had over it in the first place.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It was like, I don't control my thoughts, I don't control my feelings, I don't control my beliefs. And like, the moral of the show is for me, like, when you realise you don't control your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, you realise it's no point in really... Like, I can't stop my thoughts coming, they're going to keep coming, right? I can't, if I was to try and pay you £1 million to believe in Santa Claus, you couldn't, because you don't get to choose. So you don't control what you believe in. We don't control how we feel. Like, if you love, you can love someone and they could turn out to be a serial killer, you're still going to love them. It's not up to you. Do you know what I mean? You love who you love, and same with hatred, unfortunately. Someone could do something to someone you love, and you'll hate them, and you don't get to just choose when that stops. You just have to wait until it does subside, or you're ready to let go, or your brain. And so when you manage to like realize that, you can be more gentle to yourself, thinking, okay, I'm not choosing to think this. I'm not choosing to feel this. I'm not choosing to believe these things. Okay, this is what my brain is doing. And when you do that, you start to feel better. And when you start to feel better from that, you can't help but start being more compassionate and understanding to other people, because you realize, oh my God, you are all just like me. Everyone in the world now who I like or dislike is just like me. So I can't be like, say to myself, it's not your fault, Rich, but it is your fault. It's not no one's fault. Even the people who you despise the most, they are who they are because of the lives they've had. Now, I'm not saying to be in power, but if you'd have lived their life and been through what they've been through, you would be them. You would be them. And I just, that was life-changing for me. It means you can never really hate anyone ever again. Do you know what I mean? You can't stop you from hating yourself, stop you from hating other people. And this world now is just so polarized and divided at the moment.
Totally.
It was a really, the thing that I'd learned seemed to really fit in with the cultural climate. I just thought it was really necessary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And I suppose it's just this piece of, you know, as you say, it's not, I mean, it's one of the things I talk about quite a lot with clients is, you know, this stuff, the stuff that's happened to you isn't your fault. But the good thing is, rather than just blaming or everyone's fault you think it might have been, we can go, okay, so it's not your fault, but you know what? It's your responsibility now. And that's a lovely thing, because now you know it's your responsibility. Now you can choose to heal.
Yeah,
you can
exactly.
You can choose a different way. Now you can see that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the acceptance piece is really key, isn't it?
And if I feel like I'm really happy with the, because I've been thinking about this for like a long time. I'm not saying like, I've been thinking about this for ages. It's good everyone's caught up, but I really do like the fact now that like, when you look at any documentaries now, it used to be like, this man is evil and he did this. Now it's like, this man is evil. But let's just see what happened to him 20 years ago.
Exactly.
That makes complete sense now. Exactly. You know what I mean? And if you had long enough to, all the people you hate in the media, if you had long enough to look into their backgrounds and see what happened, you'd just understand exactly why the way they are.
Totally. Well, yeah. And it's not even just that. Sometimes it's, you know, it's ancestral stuff. I work with something called family constellations, and that's really fascinating when you get into inherited family trauma.
Oh my God. Know, so,
that's
mate,
another one again.
So, I mean, if you've got a mum who's stressed out in pregnancy or has had a traumatic life, you've been like conceived in a war zone, there's going to be like, cortisol level is going to be pumped literally into that thing. Mm. And then you get, I remember I was listening to this thing about, there was once this, I mean, this is the thing about the human body and the brain. There's the conscious you, which you can decide things with, but most of you is stored, 95% of our brain is subconscious. 95% of our brain. Yeah. You're not, that's not you. That's not your control. That's most of you. Mm. So I remember that's telling you who to love, who to hate, who to be scared of. So, and it just, yeah, I find it very hard to ever to get truly annoyed at anyone. I'm a human being, so obviously I do. If someone cuts me up in traffic, I'm like, yo, motherfucker. Everyone gets hijacked.
But yeah.
The second that's calmed down, you go, okay, that wasn't the right thing to do. But yeah, I was going back to that point about that trauma being passed on. There's this thing that like I read about, there was a town in Poland, which the Nazis took over. And they, what's it called when they sort of, took over anyway, and they starved the town. And when the English came in, and there was a lot of women who were pregnant at the time who were starving, when the English came in and liberated the town and the Nazis went away, that town, the women all went on to give birth to these kids. And as the kids grew up, like 15 years later, they all became obese, and everyone's like, what the hell?
And they
realized, oh my God, it's because those kids thought they were coming into a world with no
exactly fitness. They were literally carrying the cellular trauma. Absolutely. Yeah we see it in constellations all the time. It's really fascinating. It's amazing
it?
Stuff. I guess one thing, just going back to what you're saying, that, you know, when I was sort of asking what might have helped you, and I totally get, you know, when you say actually, it in a way it was all welcome. you had to go through it all.
Yeah.
Then I suppose maybe another question then might be, so what are you grateful for? And I guess there's a lot, but. What I'm thinking is, you know, when we started off and you were saying that, you know, people checked up on you.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a huge part of this, that having, staying connected in some way. Okay, so you were in your house or whatever,
yeah,
which doesn't sound great,
but
people checked up on you.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for anyone who stuck behind me. I'm really, it's weird. I'm in for these dark things, but like, I am the least depressive person in the world. That's why I never wanted antidepressants, because I'm not a depressing person. I'm like, I am constantly like, look at this. Look, I'm always like, people always go, oh, you're like a child. Like, wow, look amazing this is. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and I don't ever think ill of anyone else. Like, I'm so grateful for anyone who's sort of ever, you know, just being kind to me. That's always inspired me. But also, I'm also grateful for the bad bits as well. It's like, obviously, I wish they hadn't happened. At the time, I wish they hadn't. But now, reflection, I'm glad they did, because they've made me stronger in aspects. Now, does that make sense? I'm assuming you've heard that tale of the Chinese farmer. The thing about the guy who's like, you just don't know what the good or bad outcomes are of certain situations. There's that story when he says his son turned up with a horse. Have you heard that one? Yeah.
Tell us again, because there'll be people who haven't heard of it.
Basically, it's an old like Eastern proverbs, sort of like tale. Basically, there was a man, and he had a field. He had a horse, and one day the horse ran away, and all the villagers went, oh my God, that's terrible news. And the guy went, maybe. And the next day, the horse came back with five other horses, and the villagers went, oh my God, that's brilliant news. And he went, maybe. And then the next day, his son fell off one of the horses and broke his leg, and they all went, oh, that's terrible news. And the guy went, maybe. And the next day, the conscription officers came to take everyone off to war, and they didn't take his son because he had a broken leg. And he went, that's great news. He went, maybe. You just never know what the good or bad outcomes are of certain situations until later. So it's probably something to get annoyed. Like, maybe you lose a job. Oh, no. But then it turns out that building falls down. Oh, my God. It's like, you just need to go, whatever happened. And I won't know what the reason is for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. See, it really is that acceptance piece, isn't it? Being able to acknowledge emotions and accept that actually they're all welcome, even though we don't necessarily want that one right now.
Yes, absolutely. It's all, you don't know why, but there's a sort of a reason. Not saying it's like a force saying like this is, but you'll figure it out as you go along.
Yeah, totally. Well, look, it sounds like you're doing fantastic work. It's just, you know, I think it's just brilliant, all the stuff that you're doing. And the show's obviously great. I hope I can come and see one.
Yeah, I love that.
So you're in the middle of the tour right now. So you've got York coming up. You've got Oxford. Just to run through a few of them. You've got Bath, Birmingham, Leicester,
Edinburgh, Glasgow.
Yeah. Oh, you got Edinburgh. Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't think I've got those on the list.
Oh, God. Okay. Edinburgh and Glasgow. Yeah.
Okay. And Glasgow. When are you there? Is that
next week? Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay.
This may not go out till. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Might be out by then. But anyway, importantly, then, where can people buy tickets?
If you go to richhardisty.com, RichHardisty.com.
Cool.
And there's Rich_Hardisty on Instagram. All the links are there.
Yeah.
And we're at Soho Theatre in London on the 9th and 10th as well, which is a very big one for me.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll try and do that. Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, we'll put all that in the show notes, and I really wish you all the best with it. And cool. Great that you mentioned Bo Burnham at the beginning.
Yeah.
My daughter showed me that. Oh my God, I cried my eyes out.
He's great, isn't he?
Sobbed my little heart out at it.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
God, yeah, really. That was a Netflix thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Inside. Yeah.
It's
called Inside.
I absolutely loved it, but man, did it make me cry. It's so fantastic to chat to you. Thank you so much for being part of it. I really appreciate it. I think that what you're doing is super inspirational. Keep going, keep getting all the great reviews, and
thank you very much.
Come and see the show. Thank you, silly boy. I really appreciate it.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you, Rich. And if any of the topics in that conversation trigger you or really you feel like you really need some support, always reach out for help. If it's related to alcohol, go to Alcohol Change UK. They've got lots of support on offer, but just always reach out and get some support. If you want to go and see Rich's tour, there's a whole bunch of dates. As he mentioned, he's doing Edinburgh, he's got Oxford, Milford Haven, he's in Bath, Birmingham, Leicester, London, Northampton, Knaresborough, Reading, Durham, Liverpool, I think, not necessarily in that order, but to find out all of the details of the shows, go to richhardisty.com. And you know, again, as we've mentioned so many times before, connection is everything. And if you really want support and you want to feel connected, then check out thesoberclub.com. We really do offer just a completely non-judgmental approach there. So do check it out, whatever stage you're at. Perhaps you're sober curious, but you're very early stages, or maybe you've been sober for ages, but you now want to look at this whole holistic picture of focusing on that life that you don't have to escape from. So check out thesoberclub.com, and I'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.